Blog Talk Radio.
Mes amis, ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. Darlings, it's Sybil Brunson, Mummy, and I'm coming to you live right now on our podcast with our own show, Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters Network on Blog Talk Radio. And darlings, I'm so happy to be here with you tonight. Normally we broadcast to you from, well, depending on where Mummy's traveling, all over the country, but usually our home base is the revolving ballroom of the Cafe Berlin, high atop the Chrysler Building in the heart of Manhattan, merry old Manhattan, which isn't very merry right now. It's kind of morose Manhattan, but that's another subject for another time. We are brought to you every Monday night by the daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, daughtersofisis.com, all one word. Do check it out on your laptop tonight. They have wonderful products, and their chairwoman of the board also happens to be my producer here in the studio, although she's stationed right now at a safe distance, not 6 feet away, but more like 6,000 miles away down in Florida, while I'm coming to you from my bay window here on the Upper West Side. Gwendolyn Holdenberry, how are you tonight?
I'm Sarah de Midland. I'm here. I'm here. I'm queer. I'm doing it with a ragtime band.
You know, in a world of contagion, the only contagion I'm interested in is the contagiousness of your wonderful laugh. When do you know that you have one of the laughs that makes me laugh automatically? I could be at my own funeral and in an open coffin, and if you laughed nearby, I probably would come back and start laughing from the dead. That laugh, it just warms my heart. If they say medicine, laughter is the best medicine, your laughter is certainly a very big injection of health and happiness for me. I'm glad to hear you're doing well down in Florida. I envy you too, by the way, because April is half over up here in New York and in the Northeast. But it is so weird. When I woke up this morning, it was so dark and so gray and so rainy and so Novemberish that I had to actually look out the bay window at the new green shoots on all the trees to convince myself it's spring, at least with this quarantine down there in Port St. Lucie. You at least have palm trees and orchids and cycads and rolling beaches. And yeah, I mean, it must be.
We have it all. We have bunnies in the backyard for Easter. There's a squirrel convention in my backyard. We have birds. We have everything down here, including an idiot in the governor's office, but
yes, yeah, I don't like to say that about your governor, but I'm afraid he is an idiot. But look who his best pal is, you know, I mean, in the White House. I wanted to say too that it is strange this year how it's almost like the coronavirus and the quarantining and everything has affected the weather gods. It's actually made spring. I suppose we could check the temperatures for every year and everything, but it just seems like spring is taking a long time this year. It was an easy winter for all of us. It was much less stormy or brutal winter, but this spring has just been so reluctant. Yes, tulips have come up. Yes, the forsythia is blooming, but there's just a grayness to everything. It just seems to be a little bit grayer and rainier and cloudier and sadder.
The rain does cleanse energy.
Yes, so it does. I'm not a complainer about rain at all.
I love to hear it fall. Yeah.
Oh, I had the windows open in front the other night, and the rain was falling on the trees outside my window. And the sound of rain on leaves is absolutely one of my favorite sounds of all time. It reminds me of the time when you could go walking through the woods and it starts raining, and you can hear, there's so much quiet, and you can hear the rain on the leaves around you. It's one of the most magical sounds in the world, I think, just gorgeous. I want to just remind everybody, we are being produced by, sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And, oh, by the way, we, our call-in number, if you'd like to call in and speak to either Gwendolyn and or me, our number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Do you have a little fragrance anecdote for us tonight, Gwendolyn, something that we should be watching for, or perhaps something that we should order online at daughtersofisis.com? Is there a fragrance that would be good for these trying times?
Well, I've talked about going over and getting a hold of some of our seed oil spray for your masks. I really do. I push that because it's important. And I've brought it to a pricing that's really one of the most reasonable out there, if not the reasonablest. And I've made it into a hand soap also with some black sage, and that ought to get it good. And I actually created a little collection of thieves oils that will help us get through this. I call them, helpers. And I've got Erect Spirit, or Spiritus Erectus, which is a blend of blue tansy, lang lang, geranium, pink grapefruit, and it's an upliftment and lightness of mind and heart scent. And then Heart of Heaven, Cor Calais, a blend of wild rosemary, sweet basil, rock rose, and lavender essential salt. It lifts your heart, and it's a higher guidance. It's like, I like to think of it as a prayer in a bottle. And then I've got Grounded Empathy, Compassio Verique. And that is a blend of oak moss with amaryllis, which is your Haitian sandalwood, carrot seed or Queen Anne's lace, blue chamomile and vetiver, Haitian vetiver, and fig absolute. Now, this is a grounding for the overwhelming emotions that are clouding the planet right now, reaching beyond the moment of fear to find some peace and clarity. I think that's very important, grounding, because we're all humans are empathetic creatures, unless you're a sociopath and you're the president. So basically, but it's a value right now to be extremely grounded, but also kind and generous with your community and your neighbors and yourself, but also protected and, not so plugged in to the, because there is an overwhelming sense of darkness around us because people are afraid. And so I blended that. Now, these are very lovely blends. They're in a 5-milliliter bottle. And I put them together for $35, which is like a freaking steal. So
it sounds wonderful. So, and that's available online right now. That's online tonight.
DaughtersOfIsis.com. And been sending a lot of it out to Los Angeles area.
Well, that makes sense. LA.
Yeah, Callie knows me. Callie is my, it's Daughters of Isis in California dance. Slow they dance. They're good people out there.
Well, I know that, first of all, it sounds wonderful. And for people going to daughtersofisis.com, you can order that tonight. So that's available. And I will be talking after the show tonight to Gwendolyn about selling it in the 12-liter size for those of you that would choose not to use it as a fragrance, but as an injectable. In case you are admitted for coronavirus to the hospital, you could walk in with your own set of IV drugs and simply offer it to the nice nurse behind the mask, and they can hook it up to your IV. And simply inject it into your system.
I have actually, every morning when I wake up, I have a little bottle of the straight oil, the seeds blend on my nightstand, and I have a box of Kleenex. And every morning I put a few drops on the box of Kleenex. I inhale it. I don't recommend that for anyone, to just sit and inhale it. But I happen to know essential oils have kept me going for the last 20 years. So it's something that I do. And in the evening before I go to sleep, it's like I'm keeping that stuff close, you know?
I have a the pillow that I put my head on. I put my head down on that pillow. But behind that pillow, up against the headboard, I have a separate pillow. And I have sprayed your fragrances on that pillow. So that it's not necessarily on my skin, but it is, it's above my head. And then which would be like on the box of Kleenex by the bed. So it's sprayed on that pillow that is at the headboard. And so I go to sleep at night with different fragrances. And I must be very candid and say that I sprayed money on my mask the other day when I went. Gwendolyn has a fragrance called Money, and I sprayed it on my mask and walked down the street, and no one could see the huge smile under my mask, but I had a big fat smile on my face because I was smelling money all the way over to Garden of Eden to shop for all our necessities and everything. So I've been spraying different things on my mask when I go out to do my errands on those occasions when I'm allowed out the door. My panic-stricken partner.
Can I ask you, Mommy, how is it, because I only know a couple of people who are still in New York, as you and George is, and I wonder, how is it, because I know you go and you keep your distance and you take a little jaunt. I've adored your Tourette's online on the Facebook pages.
Right.
I wonder, when you go in to do your shopping, are people being very cautious and wearing masks?
First of all, it is fascinating. Half the people out on the streets in New York are wearing masks, but half of them are not. It's catch as catch can. Are the streets much more emptier than they were? Yes. Shocking.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It is a much different looking city. And, of course, you've seen aerial shots of the city and, you know, drone shots of the city, and you've seen Mummy's own Tourette's. I've shown you that there's almost no traffic. When I leave from 105th Street and go down to Tribeca to my dermatologist for my cancer surgery, which ended up being successful, thank you for asking. Mummy had some basal and some squamous, and it was superficial, and it was biopsied, and then it turned out that it was not very deep. And I went back a week later and had the surgery, and I've got a clean bill of health for another 6 months. So thank you for asking. Everything is great. And I want to remind everyone, I went off on a tangent here. I want to remind everyone that, first of all, just because we're in the midst of this crisis, it doesn't mean that we pass up going for our ABCDEs of skin cancer. If you don't know what the ABCDEs of skin cancer are, Google it. Google ABCDE skin cancer, and then you'll see what those symptoms are, and those are things we have to watch. And by the way, colonoscopies, that's the other great test that everyone should get, and do not allow this coronavirus to screw up your regular checkups for other health things, because we have to be vigilant about everything, not just coronavirus. Anyway, back to traveling. I showed a Tourette of the city as I was going down, and you could see that the West Side Highway, normally I have to give, you know, like 30 minutes to get down to Tribeca or whatever. I was down there in like 8.5 minutes flat. So, you know, it's very quiet, very, very still. Back to Gwendolyn's question, are people being observant? No, half the people in the store are not wearing masks. It's almost impossible to keep a complete safe distance when you're in narrow aisles, but people do seem to be trying to be careful. I must tell you that I'm startled by the number of parents with toddlers who are not wearing masks, nor are their children wearing masks. That is very strange. That's very strange to me, that parents and toddlers, if you see a baby carriage on the street, that 90% of the time, the parents or parents and the child or children are not masked. I don't know what that is. I don't get it. We're starting
to see
Yeah, we're starting to see that the disease is not only targeting the old or the frail or the compromised. We're starting to have younger people getting it. So it seems that But, you know, it's silly. On the other hand, the paranoia about gloves, I want to reiterate this. Okay, if you're going to wear gloves, latex gloves, the minute you touch something, the gloves are now infected. The disease is not born through your skin. So by you wearing a glove and shaking someone's hand, you're not protected from the disease because you had a glove on. The disease is airborne. So it's communicated through close contact with like a sneeze, a cough, or being confined in an elevator with someone who's sick, you know, and having the air, you know, infected. It is not a skin-borne, contact-borne disease, okay? So if you're wearing gloves, that's great. You can wear gloves if that makes you feel better. But for God's sakes, remember that your gloves are infected the minute you touch the doorknob or the taxi cab handle or the grocery in the you know, a can of soup in the grocery store, or you open the elevator, you press the elevator button. Your gloves are now infected. All you've achieved is you've got to remember that when you get back in the house, before you do anything, take off your gloves carefully, and you have to learn that procedure, which is you take the first glove off, right? You peel it up off your hand like a banana, right? You peel it off your hand, and then with the other hand, with your free hand that is uninfected, you reach inside the glove of the gloved hand. You reach inside and peel it off, and then still you throw it in the garbage all the way down, and then wash your hands. And I do have a tub of the disinfectant wipes, which I wipe my hands off and wash them. And then I take the disinfectant wipe that I've just been using and wipe my own doorknob, both inside and out. So I wipe the doorknob and the door frame a little bit, wherever my hands might have gone, and then on the inside as well. By the way, folks, let's not run out of gloves, and let's not run out of disinfectant wipes if we don't have to. Disinfectant wipes are good and deadly as long as they're wet. If you keep wiping down groceries, if you wipe down 7 or 8 items that you've bought at the grocery store with a disinfectant wipe out of the Clorox or, you know, the Lysol, you know, tub dispenser thing, you can wipe all of that down and have it be sterile as long as that wipe is completely wet, because it doesn't just work on one package of frozen peas and then get thrown away. We'll run out of them. So you can wipe down a few items as long as the disinfectant wipe is wet. As long as it's wet, that disinfectant is extremely, extremely powerful and is killing everything. Neighbors caught me the other day. I had brought out the tub, whatever you want to call it, that jumbo-sized plastic thing of Lysol wipes, lemon-scented, by the way, which makes me feel cheerful. And I went out in the hall of my apartment building, and I wiped down my front door, all where above and below the doorknob and the doorknob and the door frame around that whole area. Then I went to the fire door, which is on our hall, which leads to the elevator area. I wiped that down on both sides. I got a fresh wipe. I wiped down the elevator door handle and the frame and the buttons. I went into the elevator and I wiped down that. I wiped down the buttons. I got out of the elevator because we have an old-fashioned 1920s elevator where the door retracts, but then you have a swing door. I wiped the swing door down inside and out. Then I went to our front door of the building. We have two of them. We have one and an outer one. And I wiped down those things with the door jamb and the door above the door panel above and below the knobs and everything. And neighbors were saying, oh, that's so considerate of you to do. And I said, no, we should all do it. And by the way, everyone was horrified because the wipes that I was using were horrible. They were black because, you know, landlords paint those frames once every 5 years or whatever, and they paint them black, and you don't know how dirty they've been all along. So in fact, they've been filthy you know, to hell with coronavirus. They've got staff on them. They've got everything on them. So I was cleaning them off. I mean, they looked brighter when I was done. I actually, the rest of the door, the door was shiny above and below the doorknob. And then the upper part and the lower part of the door looked like a dingy old, you know, soot gray thing. So I thought, oh, my God, I really should go get a bucket and, you know, an abrasive rag and some Pine Sol and wash the door now down, you know, and do it. And maybe I will, because we've all got, you know, time on our hands now. But folks, try and use your brains when you're thinking about what you need to be careful about and what you don't need to be careful about. Masks, yes. Get some Daughters of Isis products, you know, the Four Thieves oil or what, any one of them will be lovely. Lavender is lovely. Spray that on, you know, use a mask and make it attractive and lovely enough so that you'll want to wear a mask. Gloves, wear gloves, but don't assume that a pair of gloves doesn't make your hands uninfected for 8 hours. I see these people working in stores and they've got gloves on all day. It's like, okay, great, but don't think that that glove, you can rub your eye with that glove, because the minute that glove has touched something, it's infected. You'd have to wash the glove, your gloved hands. You'd have to wash your gloved hand just as you would have to wash your hands. So the only thing a glove does, for those of you with sensitive skin, is that it keeps you from having to have detergent on your hands all day. You know, you won't be washing your bare skin 30 or 40 times a day. On the other hand, if you're like mummy, you will, if you keep a latex glove on all day for 8 hours, your hand will get sweaty. And then what I used to find when I used to do trompe l'oeil work in the theater, my hands would get, I could get a little bit of a bartender's rash on my hands because my hands would be confined in a glove all day when I was working with paints and with oil-based paints. So it was a mixed blessing. You know, the glove would protect me from the paint, but then, you know, being sweaty and overheated inside a glove, my hand would get a little itchy and strange at the end of the day. So just try to be clever with what you're doing. Yes, I used to get athlete's foot on my hand. It was very embarrassing.
You know, I've had people call me and ask me what's the best butter to use on their skin because they're washing their hands so much. And I'm glad to get the calls because it says people are taking care.
Yes.
But, you know, first of all, my mom, for some reason, used Dove soap. And I hated it.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you said that. I despise Dove soap. I never felt clean. And it's because the ad campaign said it all, Gwendolyn. It said 80% cold cream or whatever. And in fact, when you wash your hands or anything with Dove soap, you feel like you're coated in cold cream.
Oh,
you can't get it off. I mean, I guess it moisturizes your skin. Nothing could get through that. The Gobi Desert couldn't get through your skin once you've washed with Dove.
But once you, I've been suggesting that to people who've gotten, you know, never had a problem, but now they are because they've had to go into work or what have you, and they've, you know, used gloves, and it's like, okay, so what you do is wash your hands with the, you know, and then wash them once lightly with Dove soap, and see if that doesn't help to bring your hands back to a comfortable place.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't had any callbacks saying yes, no, or my gosh. So I have no idea if it's really working, but I channel this stuff from Spirit, honey, and that's what Spirit told me. Just tell them to use Dove. You know, it's like the Dove. It's good for the skin to a certain degree, but it does leave you feeling like you've been coated, and it's like, I'll take the Dial.
I guess that would be a benefit right now. That's true. Speaking of callbacks and responses, I'm going to just mention something to people. I've said this many times before and under different circumstances, but I'm really going to request it. When you're on Facebook, listeners, when you're on Facebook, if you read something, and I'm on the verge of saying certain people's names, but I won't, because I don't want to humiliate them. If you post something on Facebook about the fact that your dog died or your cat had kittens or your, you know, tulips came up or your grandmother's brownie recipe worked or whatever, when people post comments on your post, I'd like to ask you a favor. I'd like you to press one of the emojis. The old one was the thumbs up blue, thumbs up, you know, which just was basically Zuckerberg called it like, you know, that was just like it. And then they came up with it, don't like it or whatever. And then they came up with the others, you know, wow and sad and boohoo and whatever. I'd like you to start as part of just good manners and being a neighbor, a good neighbor on Facebook. When you read something, it takes no brains at all, even on your phone or on your laptop, to press an emoji letting the person know that you recognize that they wrote that and that you read it. If it's an angry post and it's about something political or whatever and you agree with it, you can either press the thumbs up, you like it. You can press the heart, which is you love it. You can press the mad one, which lets them know that you agree with their anger, or you can press the mad one, which is to say, I don't agree with you. But whatever you do, when you read someone's post, if you read it and you're too lazy to leave a comment, at least press an emoji. Just let people know that you're recognizing that they are communicating on Facebook. And consequently, or not consequently, on the other hand, if someone posts a comment on your post, so in other words, if I write a post and I say, my dog died, or my cat had kittens, or my brownie recipe worked, or my, you know, whatever, if someone posts a comment under that, like, congratulations, or even more pointedly, and I hope you're listening right now, I'm sorry. If someone says, I'm so sorry that your dog died, right? I'm so sorry your dog died. You're in my prayers for peace and comfort. And they write something, and they're writing a condolence to you on something you posted on Facebook. What do you think you should do? At the very least, if you're not going to thank them, you can post a heart on the emoji under their comment. If someone offers you condolences on something that's broken your heart, you can put the blue thumbs up or the heart or something there to let them know that you appreciate that they took time to Facebook you from hundreds of miles away and let you know that they cared enough to say you're in their prayers. Or that you appreciate that they're saying they're sorry your dog died. I'm thinking of someone specific who posts all the time on Facebook about his woe du jour, his neuroses du jour, his tragedy du jour, his panic attack du jour, his implosion du jour, and now just recently about his dog passing away. And people's comments pile in, flood in, and there's never a remark at all. First of all, there's not a thank you, but there's not even a heart or a thumbs up to let them know, thank you for saying prayers for me. This goes down as one of my biggest pet peeves in the world. I find this as annoying as Jar Jar Binks in the Star Wars, the Star Wars. I find this as annoying as people who eat on the phone, conducting phone calls, especially business calls, but decide to eat on the phone. This lack of decorum and just general politeness just leaves me cold. And there's a bunch of them on Facebook. MM, AH, AA, two AHs, There's a whole bunch of them. There's a whole bunch of people who expect to expect to be read and noticed and whatever, and they do not respond at all. They don't. They never let people know that they've read what they've posted or commented anything. And I would like everyone to try and do that. Okay, we're all trying to be a little bit better a neighbor, a better a friend, better a citizen to a fellow citizen right now. Certainly, the people on the Sybil Brunchen's Lollipop Guild have been doing an enormously good job, and I want to thank all of them. We're 1,100 strong right now. I don't know why we're not 11,000 strong. I think the one place that the members have fallen down is that they're not recruiting all sorts of people to join us on Facebook's Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild, which is a non-denominational, non-controversial, non-political page. It's a place where we post happy, joyous, we post memorabilia, we post beauty, we post recipes, we post jokes and anecdotes and just all sorts of wonderful things. And I thank the membership for that. But I exhort the membership to double our membership. Come on now. There's all sorts of people on Facebook that can join, and I've been trying among my own Facebook members, my own personal page members, and I'm trying to get them all to join us there and to contribute things so that we can get through these tough times with some happiness. And I want you to all take to heart what I said about posting an emoji that lets strangers, your Facebook friends, quote unquote friends, know that you're reading their stuff, and let them know that you're reading their poem or their story or whatever. I'm used to you not responding. I'm used to, you know, it's only when I don't write something for, you know, 3 or 4 days that suddenly everyone piles in and goes, where are you? A bunch of tantruming, dirty diapered brats. You know, I haven't heard from you for 2 years. And suddenly, you know, I say, you know what, I might be leaving Facebook. And suddenly everyone's got a big, fat, brown dump in their diaper. So it's like, you know, so I'm used to you being thoughtless, even when I'm writing my heart out on Facebook and giving you all of my writing for free, by the way. You know, you haven't had to pay a effing cent for it. So I'm used to it. But why don't you try and treat each other with some generosity. Okay. So anyway, enough about that. Gwendolyn and I talked after the last show last Monday, and we agreed that we would try to withhold our complete disdain and diatribes about the current political situation and, you know, what's going on in the country. The one thing I do want to say, and I know Gwendolyn agrees with me, is that you should be doing anything you can right now to remain expansive, to do things that are about happiness, joy, sharing, comforting. When you're feeling scared, ease someone else's pain. That's right out of Field of Dreams. Ease his pain. Ease someone else's fear. Do not post one of those Facebook banners, the multicolored ones, and say, I'm scared. I'm so scared. It's like, yeah, we're all scared. Thank you for letting us in. And yes, you'll probably get some comments like, don't be scared, Cliff. You did blah, 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 blah. But do something that is not about being scared. Instead of posting a banner, you know, and saying, yeah, I'm scared. I'm so depressed. I'm so, Don't do that. Post, go to Google, go to Wikipedia, find a photograph of something that is wonderful. Find a photograph of a kitten or a puppy or a child playing with bubbles that they're blowing or the new flowers coming up in your garden. Take a stock photograph off the internet or take something in your own backyard. Write down your father's favorite joke that used to make him laugh without fail. Write something down, post some photograph, post it, and then on the message on your Facebook post, say, in case you're feeling sad, I'm sending this to you. Okay? I'm sorry. This is where I get to be Edna Mae Oliver and Aunt Eller and a bit of Katharine Hepburn. It's like, I don't care that you're depressed. Nobody cares. I mean, yes, we do care, but we we can't all, you know, 380 million Americans can't all sit in our poop and say, I'm depressed, or I'm mad, or I'm angry, or I'm... No. Do something that expands outward and helps someone else who's depressed. Send a photograph out on the internet and say, this is for all the broken hearts out there right now. This picture of a puppy and a kitten playing together. I'm sending this out to people who are brokenhearted right now. I want you to be expansive, not retractive. Do not retract into yourself. I want you to expand outside yourselves and to reach out and find people and places that are joyful. Go for a walk with your mask on for a half an hour every day. Go buy a chocolate bar and splurge on the expensive green and black one. That's, you know, the 70% dark chocolate. You know, don't buy the Hershey's chocolate. Go buy the higher priced one. The French used to have an expression, the poorest Frenchman takes whatever money he has. He spends half of it on a loaf of bread and the other half on some flowers for the table. The poorest Frenchman will spend half of what little money he has on flowers and the other half on something for the table to eat. Do things which are good. Put music on that is joyful for you and dance around in your neighbor, in your living room. Even if it means dancing naked, do it. Do things which are joyful and share that news with other people. Post something saying, I was so depressed today. Were you? I danced around naked to Madonna in my living room. Make someone chuckle. And as I've said to Gwendolyn, and she knows that I have this streak in me, I'm a dragon. I was born in the year of the dragon, and I'm Aquarius. That is a deadly combination.
Yeah,
and darlings, and darlings, when mommy isn't busy pouring her heart out in her writing for you and stories and anecdotes or during a Tourette for you, when I'm feeling really negative, I use my anger as an expansive tool. I write satire on my pages all the time. And I speak about it here on Come Now, Don't Sulk. If you're feeling depressed, don't be depressed, be angry. Let your negativity become positive anger. Make sure you register to vote and make sure you tell your friends to register to vote. Say and do things which are about changing a world which is breaking your heart. So if you can't find happiness on a Wednesday and joy, make it Wednesday your woe day. And not woe as in woe is me. It's about you are going to do something about your woe. You're going to make sure that you've told all your friends on Facebook, get registered and vote. November 3rd is right around the corner. Write your congressman. Yes.
We do have another caller.
Oh, good. I will take it.
Calling in. Okay.
Write your congressman. Yes.
Hello.
Hello. It's Sir Peter Cheezel.
Who is it?
Sir Peter Cheezel.
Oh, my God.
I've been listening to your
God.
Show, but I have nothing to say.
It's Sir Peter Cheezel. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the gentleman, that, and yes, I know it sounds like a woman with a deep voice and a hormone problem, but no, it is a very nice gentleman with a melodious voice, one of the great voices in theater, and one of my favorite actors, and a puppeteer, a genius puppeteer. He actually took his great talent and has been a puppeteer for years. Shall I give them your real name, or should I just keep you, Sir Peter?
Oh no, you can tell them. Everybody knows my real name. Believe me,
it's Jimmy Rassiope.
That's right.
I have known Jimmy Rassiope, and I just celebrated our 40th anniversary of friendship. We were friends together, and we built a theater together on Bond Street. Down in not Soho, NoHo. It's just a block north or two blocks north of Houston Street. So, and at that time, people didn't even call it NoHo; they called it Slumville. I mean, it was not the West Village, it was not the East Village, it was not Soho.
Yes.
It was absolutely and coincidentally Sweeney Toddland. It was we were there during the time that Sweeney Todd was on Broadway, and it was exactly like what Sweeney Todd would exist in. It was
absolutely
a storefront. It was a storefront in a slummy and dangerous area. It wasn't slummy like the East Village, which was crowded with all sorts of characters and people. It was slummy because there was no one around. After 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it was an abandoned and strange and creepy place, and it was wonderful. It was
and Robert, Robert Mapplethorpe lived upstairs, right?
Robert Mapplethorpe was my upstairs neighbor.
That's
and
right.
He kept asking model for him, and I said no. The thought of me in pasties and a G-string with a boa constrictor or other oblong vegetables or things, I just felt that Sybil Brunchen in pasty G-strings modeling in lurid oblong vegetable photographs would be detrimental to my future career. And I'm glad I made that choice. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm so glad I found I've actually joined the 21st century here. I had no idea how to do this, but evidently it worked. So here I am. And I was listening to the whole show. I'm just listening to the whole show. I had nothing to say, so I just wanted to listen to you. But here I am.
Darling, that's the nature of podcasts. I have nothing to say either. I take a breath at 8 o'clock, and I simply try to sustain words which I've heard at some point and join them into some sort of syntax. And then Gwendolyn gives me the nice sign that the show's over, and I hope that my punctuation has been correct. Really, to be a performer on radio means you can be completely naked. I've done the show sitting on a toilet many times. And no one has been the worst aware. No one has been the worst aware. No, Jimmy, you're coming to us from North Carolina, aren't you?
Yes, from Maggie Valley, North Carolina. And I love what you said about not being so depressed. And I we have too much to do here to be depressed, and we're having a good time. I mean, we're just out into the wild here, and I've been in the shed building puppets all day, and loving my dogs and trying to talk to my friends, and life goes on. It just goes on.
You're in the western end of North Carolina, aren't you?
We are almost near Kentucky. We're about 30 minutes away from Kentucky. I mean, Tennessee. Oh, God. It's all, you know, who said anything west of the Hudson River is Ohio?
You know? wait, I just have to tell you, first of all, two things. Jimmy, where were you born?
I was born in Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah. In the shadow of New York City, right? Right.
In the
right
shadow
there.
Of New York City, yeah.
And that's that whole thing. That's like the Saul Steinberg cartoons where a New Yorker
I know.
The Hudson River, and then it's the Appalachian
Mountain.
I mean, it's the Alps or something. Or it's like a New Yorker. Ohio. My family left New England, and my parents told my New England family, my New England big family, specifically my grandmother, that they were moving to Ohio. And my grandmother, who was a Bostonian, and dated back all the way to the Mayflower, the Revolution, daughter of the Revolution, was nothing. My grandmother was proud of the fact that she was a direct descendant of two people on the Mayflower, Miles Standish and Governor Bradford.
Oh, my
so
God.
Yeah. She was a Standish. Her main name was Standish. Anyway, back to this. My grandmother was a classic Bostonian, and she was exactly like Charlotte Vale's mother in Now Voyager. She's exactly like Gladys Cooper in Now Voyager. Okay, but more loving. She was all of that sternness, but then she was like very loving, like Edna May Oliver. And so anyway, she was like Lady Catherine in Pride and Prejudice. That with Lauren.
Oh, okay.
But my grandmother turned to my mother. My mother loved telling this story forever. She said that she told my grandmother that she was going to move with my father to Ohio. And my grandmother stopped and turned and looked my mother up and down like a searchlight from her feet to her face and back down again and said, Ohio. Isn't that Omaha or Idaho or Oklahoma? Or she said, whatever it is, Doris, that was my mother's name, Doris, whatever it is, it has too many vowels in it. my grandmother couldn't discern Oahu from Ohio, from Idaho, from Omaha. They were all places. She didn't know whether they were states or cities. She had no idea what they were. Omaha and Oahu could be beside each other. Idaho, and it was all vowels, and there was always the danger of Indian attacks wherever my mother was going. There was always a chance that we could all be killed by Indians. So I just
who do you think's living there now, right?
But I just think it's so cute is you being a New Yorker, basically. Kentucky, Tennessee, potato, potato, come on, whatever.
Oh, I love it. Did I tell you what the two guys that moved us here said?
No.
Yes, I did. It was so cute. There were two backwoods boys, and they helped us unload the truck, and they're watching us, watching me and John interact, and they said, well, you know,
Wait a minute, make it clear that you're gay. Jimmy has a husband, John, so I just want to make sure the home audience knows that you're gay is coming to the Appalachia.
You can't tell from my
voice.
Anyway, they're watching us, and they're saying, well, you know, we're backwoods guys, and, you know, you guys from New Jersey come down, you think you can and just do everything your own way here, but we don't like it that way. And then he's watching us, and he says, John's talking to me, he looks at John, looks back at me, he says, is he the wife?
And what did you say, Jimmy?
I said, well, we switch off. And he was
Jimmy,
so charming.
That's a funny line. Which one of you is the wife? Is he the wife? Is great, but your comeback is
we switch off. Yeah, and but
it's
they were
like
so
Jack
they
Benny
were so
said that.
They were so excited. It's like they saw the last emu, you know, in the world, the two last emus in the world. They were like, oh, gay couple.
Yeah,
they were so sweet. And they told us about.
What county are you in?
We're in Maggie Valley.
Maggie Valley,
North Carolina.
Oh. I used
and
to live in Avery. Avery.
Oh, where's that?
That, you know where Grandfather Mountain is?
No.
Blowing Rock?
Say again?
Blowing Rock?
Rolling Rock. No. Are you near Asheville?
No. More like up near the university in Boone.
Oh, okay. Okay, we're farther west.
Gwendolyn, Jimmy just moved there. He doesn't know the geography there yet.
Well, I was very close to you and when I lived up there in the 80s. There's some lovely people up there, but they really frown upon you.
Oh, I love them. This is like the egg and I, you know? Just being in, I feel like Claudette Colbert and... like, you know, just so charming. They're so charming, and they're very sweet.
Are you going to open a puppet theater there, Jimmy?
Yes. Yes, I am. And what I'm going to do is, well, we're going to do our thing, and I'm going to, right now I'm outfitting the shed to be able to do video, because I can do a hand puppet or rod puppet and marionette show in the shed. It's a wonderful workspace. So I'm going to be doing that, and we'll see.
And then
what happens,
doing them on YouTube, airing, getting them out on the internet, or
until we can all go out again. And then there's so many opportunities around here. So many. I mean, the artistic community here has exploded. You know, in the last 7 or 8 years. I mean, there's so many places to do things. So, you know, once we're up and running again, that is, if the businesses don't close, God bless them. And you know, I'll be doing some stuff, you know, all around. I have no idea what I'm going to do yet when I grow up. You know, it's we'll see what happens. You know, I'm open to anything.
I love that you just said that. Jimmy, I love that you just said that. I don't know yet what I'm going to do when I grow up, because really the way to stay young, and you learn this as you get older, we have learned this as we get older, is to ask more questions than sit back on our answers. I think that it's more about finding out and not knowing things, and not being so sure of stuff, and being like, oh, I'll try that. Or look at you,
absolutely,
you and John packing up and leaving New Jersey.
Absolutely.
And you're not a young girl, Jimmy. You're not a young girl.
How kind of you to mention that, darling. That's very sweet.
But you've done this. You're doing a brave, brave thing.
Yes.
And it's quite an adventure. And it's wonderful. I also want to say one thing, and I'm not going to tell too much. I'm not going to reveal too much, but I've known Jimmy for 40 years. And Jimmy and I, like I said, the winter of 1979, we were engaged in this experiment where we did the play School for Scandal, and we did it in a whole new, very wonderful way.
Jimmy designed
it. It was an amazing thing. The cast was genius. Marilyn Monroe. I wish we could find all of the cast members,
oh,
Julie
God,
Numbers,
so
Marilyn Monroe. Yeah, all of them. And someday, I hope that somehow on the podcast, people will say, didn't Sybil Brunson just say Marilyn Morrow? She's my next door neighbor. I'm going to go ask her if that's the Marilyn Morrow that was in the play. You know, that sort of thing.
Oh, my God.
But I want to say something to everybody. Jimmy said that he liked that I was talking about being expansive and being out, doing, like, finding joy and making joy and sharing joy.
Yep.
Jimmy Rasiopi and I go back a long way. And when we were younger, boys and girls at home, we could be very sad sometimes. I went through extremely dark times, you know, self-esteem issues and huge depressions. And I know that Jimmy had great depression, as well as being a great creative force and talented. When you're that talented and sensitive and creative, you also can have a lot of sadness inside you. And Jimmy and I were together at a time when both of us were going through that and had friends that were going through that. And one of the things that happens as you get older is that if you're lucky, you start to shed those things and trade them away for better choices and happier choices. And and when you've survived a plague before, which we have, Jimmy and I have survived the plague of the 80s, you almost get an appreciation. Like, all these wonderful people around you are gone, and you say, well, I'm still in my foxhole. Are you in your foxhole? And you sort of poke your heads up once the artillery has stopped firing, and you say, dude, as a priest, you're still alive. But so are you. I'm alive. And everyone else is dead.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Everyone.
And you climb out, and you brush yourself off, and you run into each other through the internet, through the miracle of the internet and Facebook, and say, oh, you're still alive. Oh, you're still here. And I don't know what. You do what Ann Eller says. Be hardy. You be hardy, the way she says in Oklahoma.
Be astonished. You know, you had mentioned Colette, and one of my favorite things that Colette ever said was, she said, to be astonished is one of the surest ways of not growing old too quickly.
Oh, my God, yes.
What a great quote.
If that isn't one of the truest things, you know, the Ten Commandments can go to hell. There's not one thing there that makes any sense at all. They're the driest, saddest, most sour pieces of advice of all time. But stay astonished.
Yes.
If you are astonished every morning, if you can wake up, stretch, go to your window, and be amazed by something, delighted by something, astonished by something, you will live to be 1,000 years old.
Absolutely.
I'm going to write a book called My Own Ten Commandments, and then in parentheses, Moses be damned. well, how smart was he? He devoted his entire life to the Old Testament God, and what was his reward? God killed him. He smote him.
Yeah.
Remember
that?
Said,
you can't go there. You can't go to the Promised Land. You can't go there.
Which is, you know what? You can't go to the Promised Land is shortened. You can't go to the prom. That's actually what happened. God told Moses
at the prom.
Yeah, thanks for all your work, your 40 years of work holding together those 12 tribes of misfits and arguing people and bickering and handling and everything. And your reward, they get to keep going, and you can't go. And by the way, when you get up to that mountaintop, I intend to brain you. I intend to smash your brains in. There's your reward for you, Moses. It's like, oh, for heaven's sakes. So much for the Ten Commandments. I think Jimmy Rasiopi's be astonished. Colette is right.
Ask Colette.
Be astonished.
And there's another thing she said that I absolutely love, because I don't get involved in all these discussions anymore. She said, there's three things that suit me very badly: feathered hats, general ideas, and earrings.
That's great.
General ideas.
I disagree with her on feathered hats and earrings, but she's dead wrong. A girl can always use a feathered hat, and a very good pair of earrings is always desirable. Anyway, Jimmy, I'm so glad
called. I love your show, and I love your guests and everything, and I will be doing this on Monday. It's so much fun to hear you, to listen to you. So,
and you know what? We're going to reveal our project. I don't want to tell the title, but Jimmy and I are working on a project, and so we will keep you posted as that. You know, that brews and mellows and everything. We'll keep everybody posted. Jimmy, thank you so much. Give John all my love and save lots for yourself.
And I just want to say hello to your other listeners, because I don't know them, but I was listening to them, you know, talk before I got on. I just want to say hi to everybody.
Thank you. Thank
okay.
you. We'll talk to you very soon.
Okay, bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Gwendolyn?
Yeah.
Gwendolyn?
Yeah.
Jimmy Rasiopi is so talented. Oh, my God. Just an amazing actor. And I'm going to send you some photographs from our production of School for Scandal, which was – Bond Street is just like 5 blocks south of Joe Papp's Public Theater. And we actually were in touch with the Public Theater. We were trying to get them to come down and see our little storefront theater. And by the way, that theater that we built in a storefront is still functioning. It's called the Frankel Theater. It is still, it never was turned into a store. And by the way, that neighborhood is now a billionaire's neighborhood. They
Whoa.
Tore down half the buildings up and down Bond Street and turned them into billionaire condos. And that it's
wow.
astounding. That building is one of the few buildings left from that time. So it was a profound slum back then. I'll tell you stories about it later. We're almost out of time, and I want to remind everyone that this was Come Now, Don't Sulk, brought to you by the Daughters of Isis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, my wonderful producer, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, and the head scentologist and scent scientist at Daughters of Isis.com invites you to come tonight and every day to their website and check out their wonderful products, some of which are especially meaningful and useful right now during our quarantine and our self-confinement. You are on Blog Talk Radio, and we are part of the Here Be Monsters Network. We're very proud to be a member of that family. We are on every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. And Gwendolyn let me know last week that we are being listened to by people all around the world. And Germany, hey Germany, unified at last. It's wonderful that we have so many listeners in Germany. I am just thrilled. It's such a compliment to know that we are enjoyed by Germans, and it makes me feel very happy. We have a huge following all over Europe, but particularly large in Germany and Great Britain, and so that's very nice. Australia, couldn't live without you. Thank you so much down there. My Aussies are just, you know, someday Mummy's going to get down there and to the land of Oz, and maybe I'll even decide to move there. We didn't cover all the subjects that I wanted to tonight. We got off on a couple of tangents, but I would like to invite you all to send me questions on my Facebook page. Remember, you can find Mummy on her Facebook page. You can find Gwendolyn on her daughtersofisis.com page. And Gwendolyn, you have Daughters of Isis, and you also have the Here Be Monsters page too, don't you?
I do, and you can find me on my page, which is Gwendolyn Holdenberry.
Yeah, see, she has three. See, that's how it is to be a celebrity like Gwendolyn and me. We have a dozen different Facebook pages in case the authorities ever close down one. We can always escape to one of our others. All right, well, I'm looking at the clock, and we've run out of time. I want to remind you, come to Facebook, come see the Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild page, and join us. Oh, yeah, join us, because it's such a happy place. People are posting such funny and happy things there. It's just a wonderful place to be. We will see you next Monday, same time, same place. You just click on the link, and you can listen to our show. It's the easiest thing in the world. Gwendolyn, I adore you. Thank you for being a beacon of light and laughter and love in these times. I will look for you next Monday, too.
Back at you, Mommy. I guess that's our show for tonight. Good night.
Yep, good night.